We're not starting with joyful singing, but we're going to have joy in our heart because we have some really awesome things to tell you with Mama Lucy. She's been here before. How many have met her before? Ah, okay, a few. Well, the rest of you get to be privileged to get to meet her this morning. So Mama Lucy is from Kenya, and Henry and I got to know her in 2007. So that's a few years ago. I've been there a lot, and so I get to be part of her family, which is awesome. Let's just pray first and just ask God to be here. Dear Father, thank you so much for the privilege of gathering as Christians and people who seek you. And Lord, this morning, as Mama Lucy and I speak and as we share about what you're doing in Kenya, Lord, I pray that you would fill our minds with how that applies to us, to each of us here in Canada. Lord, I pray that we would be open to your Holy Spirit and that we would learn about you and about your ways and the mighty God who you are and that you love us and you have good plans for us. So I just pray your Spirit here and to give us an understanding. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, we have a little PowerPoint as well. So we're going to show the pictures and we're going to talk as it's being shown. So Brianna, if you could put that on, that would be awesome. All right. So Jambo, what does Jambo mean?
How are you?
So Jambo. Okay. It's funny, when Henry and I went there the first time, we were walking through the markets, and everybody kept saying, Jambo, Jambo. And he said, oh, am I that big? Until we realized it means hi. So Jambo from Hope Community Center. It does, I think. Am I not doing something right here with this? Does this have to... Ah, okay. Whoops. Not working. Oh, here we go. Okay. So, how about if I just go like this and you can change? Okay. Okay, so Hope Community Center, it began. What year?
Back in 1998, but it was registered and legalized by the government in 1999.
And why did you start it?
One, you see, I came from a very broken family, and all I wanted is to help one child. For me, I thought it just one child. So when God blessed me, I started with one child. That's Gerald, who is a pastor and married. And that's the reason. The main thing is to give that child hope and for him to know that God loves him so much.
So did you have any idea about what's present today?
No. I never thought we shall have anything. Me, only the children. My mind was only engulfed in the children. So I thought it's only that one child. But you see, when Gerald was going to school, he started calling other people. So the number increased and increased and increased and increased. So the way the number increased of the children is the more I came to learn more about faith and trusting God and believing in God.
So you were one lady, you weren't married, and you were going to school. And so how did you think you were ever going to take care of all these children that kept accumulating?
You see, when I was growing up, one thing that my mom did is to teach us about God. God is faithful. Don't worry, things gonna be okay. So through my growing, so I came to know that God is faithful. God is faithful, and I'll trust him. So I trusted God. And you know, when you walk by faith, you trust God. You don't care what is happening because everything is on the hands of the Almighty God. So I trusted God. Even when the children came and the number increased, I trusted God for food, for accommodation, for changes. Everything was all about trusting God.
So when you say you trust God, what does that look like? Because we can say we trust God, but in reality, we're not doing anything different. So what does trusting God mean?
That's beautiful. You know, when you trust, okay, I trust you so much, my sister. So if I trust you, I cannot hide you anything. So we'll walk the same journey with you. When I'm down, you'll be there for me. So trusting God for me was, God, I have given you my total, my life, and the life of the children. So I'm not going to mind what will be the next. Instead, I'll stand and knowing that God is going to, you are going to walk with us from one day, the next day. And if there is food, hallelujah. If there isn't, we still trust you because you love us. When we are down, you are with us. When we are walking, you are with us. So it's that giving yourself completely to God.
So here's the big question. Is trust easy?
No, I will not say it's easy. But if you know your father, as a little child knows the father, if you can trust your father, other father, if I can trust you, I can trust God. And even if there will be challenges, I'll still lean upon you because I trust you. And I know I'm not going to fall because I'm with you. So it's not easy, but it will be easy if I let it go and let you in.
Okay. So the first time we met Mama Lucy was in January 2007. And so change the picture here. So in 2007. Okay, so this is the morning service. They have that every morning. All the different groups of children, they have Sunday school where they prepare something, and then the service is them presenting something. And so they are developing leadership. They're developing praising God before each other, and it's a very joyful time. Okay, next one. Food is, we all have food. They're amazing children. They get served, and they all wait till everybody is served. And then we thank God together, and they eat it. They fast. That's something that they do regularly. And in fasting, what do you do when you fast?
Okay, amen. What we do during our fasting is the food we are supposed to eat that day, we give it to the community, those people who are affected by HIV. So it's a kind of telling God thank you for the provision into our lives. So we help other people in the community. And our children, if we don't do it, they will do it. They are always ready to fast on Wednesday because they want to help somebody else.
Okay, so fasting isn't just to go without food. There's something much greater than that. What is that?
You see, fasting is denying what you like most. Everybody loves food. So we love food. So we have to deny it so that we can reach our community. We can reach other people who doesn't have. So fasting is beyond food, eating, and other things. Also connection and building relationship for the sake of the kingdom.
Okay, so we'll have the next picture, please. So in 2007, when Henry and I arrived, it looked a lot different than it does now. There was lots of mud. It was January when we came, but there was mud. Usually January is a warm month. It's a really good month. But for some reason, there was lots of rain. The buildings were in progress, but there wasn't much there. Next picture. So now we have, that's the clinic to the left, a garage there, and I'm standing on the building that is probably the baby dorm. It looks like from the baby dorm. So there's lots of buildings. Next one. The one on the left is the boys and the girls dorm. What year were you in there?
The
boys and girls dorm, the old one. The old
girls dormitory was built in 2005. And then we started 2006, the boys dormitory.
So from the left to the right, there's a big comparison. And they build out of stone from the quarry. They shape them, and they are amazing how they build, and they last forever, it seems like. Okay, next one, please. So in 2007, there was this little shed beside the kitchen, and that's where they cooked. Next one, please. And this is the new dining room, and kitchens to the left, and they have facilities that are amazing compared to what they had before. Next one. The kitchen now has their own mill, and so they mill flour and maize, and they have a wood oven, and they can get up to 70 loaves in there. And it's amazing art. You have to keep shifting the bread around, and it tastes good. Next one, please. We had a basketball court that Louis Burns had the idea. Tell us about that.
When Mama Eileen brought the team, as we didn't have a place to, we had a field, but we didn't know how to make our something constructive like basket.
Their field consisted of holes and cow pies.
Yeah. So and here comes Papa Louis, and he came with the idea of basketball, and I told him, we have to do it now. So the following day, we had the tractor coming, and they dug, and everything was put into pieces. Today, we are the best basket borers in our county. We have gone to national, amen? So our children, apart from being street or being hopeless, there is hope, even in the sports. You can see them.
Yes, they're amazing. I remember one day, it was late. Well, I don't know if it was late. It was very dark. It gets dark faster than here. And they had won a game. And so the team, they all came into the dining room. They were, whoo, whoo, like they were like very muscular, macho. And then they all stood up front there at attention, and they sang the national anthem, which is a prayer. And it was very touching for me, the majesty of victory together with humbleness before God. That was very special. Next one, please. Okay, the soccer field was added later, a few years later, and it's fenced in, so it's a great place for the little kids to play in and also for the soccer field, game. Next one, please. The high school. Tell us about the high school.
Formerly, our children used to join a public school, high school, and then the life did not work well with them because when they were in school, they could be called the street children. They are street children. The name is not one of the best names. So they were not able to be in school all the time. Sometimes they are running home. So I found if we can have our own high school, our children can go through our high school and they will learn more about Christ and the love of Christ in a practical way. And even if they go out for the competitions, they will still be coming home knowing that surely we have a home. So that's the reason we have our high school today.
So the clinic was built, I forget what year it was, but they have a nurse and a doctor coming regular. You can go to the next picture. And to take the needs of the children and just make sure they're okay. Next picture, please. And also, two dentists came from Grand Prairie. Michelle has been there 3 times now already, and she wants to come next spring again with a team. And they treated the children's teeth and did procedures what was necessary. Next picture. So this is the awesomeness of it. In 2007 was the first time that I was involved in bringing homeless children to the orphanage. And so we had a whole bunch at the beginning there. And it was awesome. It was like baby heaven. So that's where they began, as little like that. Then they grew up. And the next picture. And that's how they are now. And they are amazing. I have to tell you one picture about Robert. I don't know if I probably told you that before, but when I first saw him, he was probably about 6-7 months old. And they had just gotten him. He had been in the hospital till then. And he had like no interaction with me at all. His eyes weren't looking at me, nothing. And so I thought, oh, dear, something is wrong with him. Like, I don't know who he will become. But now he is the smartest boy, the smartest child in the class. And so how does that happen?
God is in it. Yeah, it's about God. And knowing that the life is hard, but God is in it. So he's doing fine because of the Lord.
So at first you had lots of street children. Now you're focusing on babies. But the street children come with a lot of pain, sometimes physical, definitely emotional, spiritual, mental. How does that happen for them to be joyful and full of praise to God?
You see, when the children come to Hope Community Center, the first thing is to teach them or to tell them about their father. So when they realize about the love of their father, they will let everything go. When you realize the love of your father, everything will go. Like now, example, when they come from the streets, the first thing, they don't trust anybody. But as the time goes by, they start trusting you through the words you are speaking, because there is power in every word that you speak. So we tell them, God loves you so much. He's your father. He's going to provide. It's not me. It's God who is providing. So through those words, they hear it. And then from there, their desire is to change. They are ready. But the other thing we need to tell them about forgiving, you have to forgive those who hurt you. If there is pain in your life, you have to let it go because of you, not because of others. Because when you have something, you are not forgiving, you are carrying a luggage. So those things, they will be holding you. So if you let them go, if you forgive those who hurt you, you are free. You can be able to pursue your education. You can be able to do, your dream will come true. So it's about letting go and letting God in your life.
So talking about forgiveness, which is huge, it's all over the world. It's here in Grand Prairie, it's in Kenya, it's everywhere. What is the key to be able to forgive somebody? What has to happen?
Amen? Amen, church. I always say, and I always tell my children and the staff, people I'm working with, it's about me. So if you want to walk, don't carry a lot of luggage, because sometimes you want to learn. But if you are carrying a lot of luggage, you can learn. You cannot have freedom. You cannot be happy because you are tired. So it's like forgiveness. So if you don't forgive, so you are still carrying. You hate somebody, so you're still carrying. You have a lot, somebody hurt you, you're still carrying the pain, the hurt, the shame, the disappointment. Let everything go, and you can be able to walk. Forgive yourself and forgive them. It's about you. Do you want to be free? Do you want freedom? So let it go, and you have freedom.
So letting it go means just...
Amen? Amen? Amen. My dad used to drink a lot. He used to beat my mom, beat us all the time. Because of the pain and all this, we had a reason to keep on holding grudge or hating him. But it's about ourselves, as children, as my mom. Because we want to live our life that God intended, so we had to forgive our daddy. It's not a dad asking, will you forgive us? No. Dad does not have anything to do with us, our freedom. It's us, we want to be free. So the same with everybody, even everybody in this church this morning. Let it go. Even if somebody hurt you, even if there's something happened in your life, if you want to walk in freedom, let it go. It's easier. Let it go. It's hard to agree with our physical understanding, our own understanding. But if you let it go, I'm telling you, my sister, my brother, this morning, you'll live in freedom. And you can be able to achieve your goals. And you live the life God intended. Hallelujah. Amen.
So, Lucy, if you would have kept all the pain on your back, would any of this have had happened?
No.
Not possible.
Not possible. Because maybe I could be all the time making, oh, my dad did, my dad did, my dad did. So my dad will become now the stumbling block. I cannot see the goodness of the Lord. But if you let it go, you see the goodness of the Lord. You see the beauty of our Heavenly Father. So it's very important. It's important for believers or anybody to let it go. And even if you don't want, you have to do it for yourself. Amen? He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son so that we can have freedom. So let it go. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. We have to accept that in our heart, right? And realize we have a choice. We have a choice about forgiveness, because it won't happen with us wanting it to happen. But God will encourage us and will give us what we need, understanding or just the faith. Is faith part of forgiveness?
Yes, because you have to walk in it. You have to walk. You see, the thing is, faith is walking in those things that you don't even understand. I know God is going to be there. There is hope of tomorrow. So I don't know, I've never seen tomorrow. So I'm walking knowing that God will be there tomorrow. So you see, there is faith. Yeah.
Okay.
And there is security. When you forgive, there is security. When you don't forgive, let it that thing that is dubbing you to hold you, there is no security. All the time will be fearing and hanging there. Somebody did this. Somebody did this. No, cut off. And go, continue living.
Amen. Lucy loves to be an evangelist, so I'm trying to prompt it. Okay, can we go to the next picture, please? So, baby house. So how did your vision change from street children with no hope to homeless babies? How did that happen?
Back in 2007 and 2006, I was thinking about changing my life. And one thing that I visited places to have to adopt a child, but I couldn't adopt a child because of 1, 2, 3 reasons. So as we were talking with one of the directors of children's department, he said, "Why can't you start taking in the babies?" And I was like, "Oh, so it's possible." So I really wanted a little child. So that's how it started. So as I went to one of the hospital, I got Mary first. But Mary was not allowed to come with me. They had they bought a lot of handles, so I couldn't make it. But I still had faith I'm going to start with the babies. So I went to another hospital, and we had 5 babies in that hospital. And they were very beautiful. There was only one girl. So I picked 2 boys because I'm not married, so I couldn't take a girl and a boy and all this, like a family. So I just said, "I want 2 boys." So I said, the doctor said, "Oh, yeah, we can sign the papers now." So I took 2 boys, Henry and Alan. And then I said, "Okay, next week I'll come for the last 3. Guess what? They all died. And that's the main for the baby house. And I told God, "I want to support them. I want to be there for them." This morning, I was called at 4. And I was told, "There is a baby that has just been abandoned somewhere. It's 2 hours from our place." And I was like, "Lord." And the children's department officer said, "Lucy, if you don't save that child, we'll die." And I was like, "No, I don't want the child to die. That child will be named Joel." So I called the office and told Joel, "You guys, you have to go." So they are in the hospital. When I was coming in, I was talking to them, and they said they are in the hospital. They are waiting for umbilical cord to be cut and then everything to be tested. So that's the work, and I'm ready to give hope where there is hope, where there is no hope, and I'm not going to allow the babies to die, because abortion in Kenya is illegal, but we can help those babies. Even if they are premature, 5 months, 6 months, they can still live. Amen? We, body of Christ, we are the givers of life with our Lord Jesus.
Okay, next picture. So this is the new baby dorm. And it is big. Looking at it, talking to Lucy, she said, "I didn't know it was going to be this big." But her vision is big. So we need a big baby house. Okay, next picture. This is the very top of the baby house. It's a wall with a fence, sort of, and that's where the babies will play, and also the laundry will be happening up there. So it's making use of the roof. Next picture. So this is the bedrooms, toilets for the little children. Next picture. They have their own kitchen and a dining area. The kitchen's not quite finished. That's okay. The kitchen's not quite finished. We need to put some of the stove, oven, and ca- cabinets in there still, but they'll have their own space. Okay, next one. So we dedicated in May when I was there, and all the children were involved in that. Next one. The nursery, there's 8 children that are in there now under age 2. Next picture. So these are some of the awesome little ones. Isabella is the one on the left. And I'll talk about the sponsorship of babies. So Gert Harder is sponsoring Isabella. So she named the baby Isabella. And every time I go back now, I will get a picture and give a report to Gert. And she will be connected with this baby and pray for this baby and watch it grow up. Next picture. So these are the ones that are a little older. Next one. Yeah, it's awesome to have them. Next picture. So her passion. Tell us about your passion.
Because the baby house is very big, we need to fill the babies there. So 40 babies a year. That's all I want.
40,
yeah.
For the next 10 years.
Yeah. So we can touch 400 babies. Instead of them dying in the hospitals, we don't know who they will be tomorrow. Maybe we are saving the next president of Kenya, or lawyer, or a teacher. So, yeah.
So, she is a woman of faith. Can you see that happening? Yeah. And she doesn't wait till she has enough money to make the baby dorm. She just starts with what she has. And then she just steps forward. When she can make the next step, she does it. Plant a seed. Next picture. So we all can have a part of it, but we all have a different, Lucy calls it a portion. God has created us for a purpose. And so for me, I'm part of this family. That's my portion. And for you, you may become part of it and you might not, but to discover what God has the purpose for your life. So, next picture. So, the baby sponsorship, I have some pamphlets. So, like I said, you can, the information is here, but you can choose a boy or girl, you can give it a name, and then I will keep you connection. And there is a financial, it's $100 for the first month to cover doctor visits, immunization, the legal fees. And then it's $40 a month after that. If you are in a state that you can't do the finances right now, but you would love a baby, prayer is huge. Because that's God's presence in that baby's life. And so if you want to commit to praying to a baby, I will give you a picture, you can name the baby, and you pray for that baby. Because prayer is the power, God's power in that baby's life. Next picture. So, this is a new thing. The primary school is just starting to be built. So it's just starting. Next picture. So on the left is their old primary school. It's tin roofs, tin walls. And this is a new desk that is just starting to be built for the new primary school. Next picture. So these are some needs, but these are the physical needs, which is not the most important thing. But it's the physical things. So sponsor a baby, help with a primary school, food has to happen, mattresses and sheets for the beds for the students, because they've had them for how many years now?
From
2005. And then desk, books, and equipment for the new primary school. So if you're interested in helping in any of that, we welcome that. Next picture. So pray for us. And here's Lucy with all her kids, and they're awesome. Every time I go there, the tradition is that I hug every child. And so we have a lot of fun doing that. next picture. This is the theme verse of Hope CC. Why did you pick that?
There is hope, and there is plan. Our Father has plan and hope, not only for now, even tomorrow. And that was the message for the children and anybody who comes at Hope Community Center. Don't worry about the plans you had, or somebody maybe had a plan for you. But remember, your Father has a good plan for you to give you hope and a future.
Okay, so I also have books out there in the foyer. This is a book that I wrote, and it's about my experience of picking up abandoned babies. And so it is a fundraiser. It's $20, and it will go totally to Hope Community Center. So if you're interested, Kathy Platt will be out there with that, because we're going to the other church. So let's just pray and bless Lucy here. Dear Father, thank you so much that you love us, God, and that you have a plan for each of our lives, and it is really important. And so, Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts to you and allow you to direct us, because you know exactly who you've created us to be, and you know exactly what we are 100% fitted to do in our life. So, Lord, we thank you for Mama Lucy. We thank you, God, for the faith that she chooses to have, and that you do not disappoint. God, that as she chooses to step forward, that you will come right beside her, and you will open the way for her as she steps. Lord, I pray your blessing upon her, that you will give her wisdom, that you will give her strength, and continue with huge love, God, because that's what it's all about, is you filling us with your love. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you will just strengthen her, and Lord, that her witness will be powerful and inspire us to follow in your footsteps and to focus on you and to trust you. I pray your presence upon Hope Community Center. Lord, as they are expanding and now more new babies are coming, Lord, I pray that you would give wisdom and strength to the nannies that you'll be hiring from the community. And Lord, the rest of the family, Lord, as they take joy in receiving babies. Lord, we just commit this vision into your hands. And we commit Hope CC into your hands, oh God. We don't know your plan for each child, but you do. And so we just pray your blessing upon Lucy and upon Hope CC. In the name of Jesus, amen.